We're going to look at a couple of verses. Once you find your place, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Verses 34 and 35. I didn't tell Riley anything the night before I started. He's just working. He's quick, though. He's on it. John chapter 13, verse 34. Now, where we're at here is this is Thursday night before Jesus is going to be crucified. We've had the Passover and the foot washing, and that's where we're at. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Lord, we love you and praise you, and we thank you for being so good, and thank you for the opportunity to come back to your house, God, and open your word, and learn from it and teach from it. And Lord, I pray, God, you just, Lord, hide me, but give me the words you'd have us to hear tonight, God, that would help us want to live closer to you, God, and be what you want us to be. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for being so good. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I told Benji before church that, you know, if you don't go at least an hour, they cut your pay. And he said, well, you don't have to do that. You know, you don't have to do that. But it probably won't take long. When the preacher had asked me Thursday, I just started thinking about, you know, Lord, what would you have me to talk about? And I tried to get away from it, but I kept coming back to it. And, you know, we did this Sunday school lesson, don't seem like long ago, who knows how long ago it was, but, you know, the Lord tells us that the way that the world will know who we are is by the way we love each other. You know, we as Christians are supposed to love our brethren. The world, though, has messed us up because people say they love things that they don't really love, they like. Like, I love cheeseburgers, but I don't really love cheeseburgers. I just like them a lot. You know what I mean? They've got the biblical love is different from what culture love is. So people say they just throw that word around and it don't mean much, you know, but it does. And we get confused with like and love. You know, the Bible told us to love our enemies. Jesus told us to love our enemies. And you say, well, you know, when you think about that right on the surface, that don't make sense. To love somebody that you know don't like you. And so I've told my Sunday school class many times that a lot of times, if I know somebody don't like me, and I know that's hard for y'all to believe that anybody would ever not like me, but they are out there. There are people in this world that don't like me. And so I make it a point to pray for them daily, because on my end, you can't dislike somebody you're praying for every day. I'm just telling you, you might start out disliking them, but you keep praying for them every day, and eventually you won't be disliking them no more. And that's just a little free tip there to help you. I heard a preacher give the definition of biblical love. He said, biblical love is the decision to passionately, righteously, responsibly, and sacrificially seek the well-being of another. That's biblical love. Love is a decision. It's not an emotion. So you can start out liking something and it grow into a love, but you don't have to like something to love it. You know, because the Bible commands us to love each other. So, you know, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. I have gone to church with people in my life that I did not really like very much. It just is what it is. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. I hope my mansion ain't beside theirs when we get there. But we just didn't mesh. My wife just looked at me and said, I'm just being honest. I'm being honest with you. Everybody don't mesh, right? But I don't have to like them. I have to love them. You know what I mean? And it's a decision. And once you make a decision to love, you don't have to worry about your feelings. You don't have to worry about your emotions. they come to Jesus in Matthew and said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said that you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and that you love your neighbor as thyself. Well, if you do that, you got all the rest of them covered. If you love one another. When you decide to love somebody, you're deciding to be a benefit to them. You know what I mean? I told you the last time I talked that I pray for my boys daily and my wife. And, you know, one of my prayers for my family is that they have all the good things, you know, in this life. Happiness, joy, laughter, and love. To feel love and to feel like they are loved. Because we all, it's just ingrained in us to be that, to do that. And once you make a decision to love someone, and you take the action to express that love, if you do that long enough, you will probably start liking it and liking them. So I know this, as my wife told me tonight that I couldn't talk about her, but I told you that I have to talk about what the Lord tells me to talk about. And I know this is going to blow y'all's mind, but there are days that I don't like her. Hang on. And this is going to be even harder for you to believe. There are days that she don't like me. Because I've said something, did something. You know how it is. But I promise you this. There's not a day that has gone by in the last 30 plus years that I have not loved her. Amen. You know what I mean? And I know for a fact that even if she ain't speaking to me, because of something I did, and she might be mad at me, and she might be acting like she don't like me, I know that she loves me. We can disagree, but still love each other. Amen? And, you know, we can love what we don't like. We can. We can love what we don't like. You know, in John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved you and me enough to send his son to die on the cross. You know, he loved us. Sometimes, you know, a man or a woman will decide that I don't love my wife no more. I don't love my wife no more. I'm going to get a divorce. All right, woman, I don't love my husband no more. I'm going to just get a divorce. Well, love is a decision. What you're saying is you don't like them anymore. You know, you've chose to not like them, but love is a decision that you have to make. And I know I was listening to Jensen Franklin. It was talking about love, but not along these lines. This is talking about marriage. You know, I made a commitment to my wife and to God. And it's so easy today. There's so many divorces and so many families and marriages split up because folks deal too much with their emotions. You know, Barry, how long have you and Gail been married? 53. Anybody else been married longer than that? Diane, how long have you and John been married?
61 years.
Wow. Ralph? Have y'all liked each other every moment of every day for all those decades? You know? But you stuck it out. You had a don't quit attitude, and you've loved each other the whole time. You know what I mean? It's a commitment. You commit to God. You commit to your spouse. You love. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. If I tell you I love you, that don't mean a whole lot. But I can show you I love you. You know, if I tell my wife I love her, that's just words, but I have to show her I love her, and vice versa. You know, I can tell you I love my mama, but if I don't never call my mama, I don't never go see my mama, I don't never think about my mama, my actions are saying that I don't love my mama. You know what I mean? And it's the same way with me and you as children of God. We can say we love each other all we want, but how do we react? How do we act? I was thinking about, I've mentioned this in Sunday school before, but I haven't never told it in here. So I know y'all ain't going to believe this, but me and Clint one time had a little spat. And I love Clint. I love Clint. Y'all know that me and Jenny and Tony and Nancy and our boys and Megan and Clint and all, we've always been really tight for many, many years. They're like family. I mean, we get together on Christmas Day. You know what I mean? They're like family to us. But me and Clint one day had a little spat over something at church. And it's funny now. It wasn't funny then, but it's funny now. We were in a group text together, me and Clint and Tony. And me and Clint both, too, are a little fiery. You know what I mean? And I don't remember which one of us threw the first dart, but then darts started flying left and right via text. And Tony's just, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Tony's, I'm texting Clint, and Tony's calling me. And I like, I got to get off this phone, Tony. I got to tell Clint something else. You know what I mean? It was something here at the church. And it was really somebody else's fault. Me and him just got caught up in it. Anyway, and so me and Clint were mad at each other. We just ended the conversation and we was mad at each other. But me and Clint love each other. And it was a day or two later, one of us called the other one and said, hey, man. And by that time, we had both cooled down and calmed down and remembered how much we loved each other. And we had a good conversation and talked about how much we loved each other and how that, you know, we both may have not said but text something we maybe shouldn't have and, you know, shouldn't have wrote that. And, you know, it was in the moment. But we worked through it because we love each other. And Clint knows I love him. I'm telling you, I love him. Like, I'm so proud of him, you know. Young guys like him that work for the Lord like he does, he's a good family man, works hard, takes care of his family, takes care of his responsibilities at church. What's not to love? You know what I mean? But, you know, we had an issue, but we love each other. We didn't let our emotions get the best of us and not speak to each other or one of us run off to another church or something, you know, because we love each other. Love's not what you say, it's what you do. You can tell, too, you know you don't love somebody that you claim to love when you can help them and you don't. And that's not always financially. You know, if I got a brother that's going through it and I just don't reach out, don't talk, don't care, I don't really love him. I can say I love him, but if I act like that, I don't. You know, God wants us to love each other. The world out there will not want anything we got if all they see is us bickering amongst ourselves. I told them in Sunday school this morning, me and Jenny made it a point with our children that are now men, and that's kind of weird, but we made a point. We never tried to complain about the church or church activities or church functions in front of them. We never complained about the preacher in front of them. We never complained about the leadership in front of them. Because I told our Sunday school class, if you do that, when your children get old enough, they're probably not going to come to church. If all they ever do is hear you complain about church or complain about the preacher or complain about the deacons or complain about the teachers or complain about the music or complain about the air or complain about the carpet, when your kids get old enough to come to church without you, they're not going to come. Because you, all you ever told them, all they ever heard from you was how bad it was, you know? And so I told her in Sunday school too, like my boys, I coached my boys a lot over the years in most sports, but they didn't always have coaches that I liked, and they didn't always have coaches that I thought was competent, you know? But I didn't talk about them coaches in front of them boys because they had to respect those coaches and, you know, just try to keep with the process. And so your kids, if all they ever hear you is complain about the person sitting on that side of church, they probably, when they get old enough, ain't going to want nothing to do with church. You know what I mean? We got to love each other. We got to love each other. We got to cut each other some slack. I told them in Sunday school this morning, you know, if you don't like somebody, everything they do is wrong. You know, if you love somebody, you cut them a little bit of slack and they can do something. You might not even notice that, you know. But if somebody's getting on your nerves and you done decided you don't like them too much, they can't do nothing right in your eyes. And if you get that way with a fellow brother or sister in Christ, would you like to know what the Bible says to do? Because this is what I've tried to apply to my life, and it's really helped. It's really helped because I do this. If I get outdone with another brother in Christ, I go see them and talk to them about what I'm outdone about. Because that's what the Bible says to do. If your brother's got an ought with you, you got an ought, you go to them and talk to them. Because if you go and talk to them, most of the time, just like me and Clint, most of the time, if you both love Jesus, you're going to figure it out pretty quick. And you're going to be able to get through it pretty quick. You know what I mean? And if that don't work, you can take a couple of leaders from the church with you and try to talk to them. But most of the time, if you go talk to them face to face, because here's the deal. If we both love Jesus, we got to love each other. There ain't no way around that. There ain't no clause. There ain't no loophole. If we both love Jesus, we got to love each other. And we got to act like we love each other. And we got to show that we love each other. Let me read you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Now, the King James Version of the Bible that I use, it uses the word charity. But this word charity here means love. And so while I'm reading this, everywhere it says charity, I'm going to say love because love is what charity means in this passage. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. That means it don't matter how smart I am, how eloquently, I can't even say that word, much less speak like, how beautifully I talk. It don't matter how much I know. If I do it without love, I'm just like a sounding brass. I'm just like a cling, it don't mean anything. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. We have modern-day Pharisees in our churches. They are people that think that they have got so holy and that they have got so godly that they don't have any love. All they do is see everything bad that everybody else in church does and everything bad that the preacher does. And the Bible says if you don't have love and that's all you do, it don't matter how good you think you are, that you are nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It don't matter what you do, what you think you're doing for the Lord. If you don't do it with love, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. And if you are the kind of Christian that all you ever do is complain about church and complain about this and complain about that and complain about you brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible says you ain't got it. It's not what I say. It's what the Bible says. You know, I make a point at work. I never say anything bad about my church or anybody at my church around my coworkers, in which most of my coworkers are saved. But, you know, I want them to know that I love my brethren. You know, I love you. I love you. I mean that. Me and Jenny talk all the time. My family is not a very touchy-feely type family. I may have mentioned this in here before, but, you know, if you hug my daddy, he locks up like a fainting goat. You know, he just thinks, you know, just waiting for it to be over. Just waiting for it to be over. It's just the way it is. When we get off the phone, we don't say we love each other. I mean, I talk to my mama and we say bye, we say bye. I talk to my daddy, my brother, we say bye, we say bye. We don't say I love you at the end of the conversation. And my wife gets on me about that all the time because I'm bad about not doing that myself. I get off the phone with Tucker or Tanner and I say bye. They know I love them. I've showed all those. I know my mom and daddy love me. You know, we don't say it enough. But we are supposed to love each other. And we're supposed to show it. You know, we are the only way they are ever going to want what we got is if they see something good. And something good is when we love each other. So I don't know, you know, where you at, who that's for, what it's for. It might have been just for me. But I'm telling you, we got to look. And that's one thing, empathy, compassion, all that, weak spots for me. That's stuff I need to work on, you know. I mean, it just is what it is. But we need to love each other, amen. I'm going to get Jenny to come back and sing one.